as a parent or a teacher or a football coach, how do you persuade people to listen to you, or do you? I'm Sheena Walker, Director of Performance by Design, and today I'm going to be sharing with you the art of influential conversations. So what do I mean by the art of influential conversations? It's how do you persuade someone to do something? Do you rely on your authority over them? Do you sell them something? Do you use psychology and marketing techniques? Do you have a system? Do you use logic? Or do you just persist until you actually get the answer that you're looking for? I'm sure if you're like me, some of what I've just mentioned there happens on a daily basis. You see people who are just influential. And if I use Ronaldo, the football player, do you think he needs persuaded to train or persuaded to practice penalty kicks? No, he doesn't. Because he wants to be the best he can be. And I think there's something in that, that when you have conversations, and if you're speaking to someone who wants to be the best they can be, they will listen with bated breath. They will listen to what you're telling them to do. They will listen to that new correction in what you're sharing with them. But there's many instances in the business world, and I can remember back being in different settings myself, where I had to think about the people I had in my team. And I knew there were certain people I could share briefings and new information with. And they would just say, great, Sheena, I've got it. I'll take that forward. When do you want that done by? And they were so unbelievably positive. And then when you look round at your team, you can see the different facial expressions that's thinking, does she really think that I'm going to go and do that? And I think it's quite a sad reflection when you've got different people in your team and they think very differently. So what are the skills that people might use to be persuasive? And some of the areas that I've mentioned can be tempting. For instance, I had a conversation with somebody just in the last few days, and we were speaking about the health service. Now, in the health service, sometimes it's very difficult to have these influential conversations, because if you have legislation and compliance, that is a direct line of command. These are things that have to be done when it's a quality standard, it's a clinical standard, it's legislation. However, on the other side of that, when you're building teams, say in the health service, you would look for ideas and a fresh approach perhaps from the different people in your team. And you would look for perhaps me, the leader, being influential in what we might be looking for, and look for people to be positive when they're sharing with you what their thoughts are. So what we're looking at, there's four areas that you can apply to influential conversations. Four areas that I personally see that's really key, and that is, these are four mastery questions. If you've still got your notebook, you might want to write them down. And that is, are you credible? Are you credible when you're speaking to your team or your shareholders or with joint ventures? So that's the very first one. The second one is, Do you share common ground with the people that might be in your team or on your board? And what do I mean by common ground? Well, do you sometimes play golf with them? I remember looking at something by a guy that was a footballer, Lee Mayer, and he was out playing football with some of the people that he works with. Now, that's common ground, and that can be fantastic for building relationships. So the third one is, do you have evidence? And I call this, do you have vivid evidence of what you're sharing, what you want people to do? And that power of persuasion is backed up by evidence. And the fourth thing is emotional connection. And I think now that more than ever, an emotional connection and how you make people feel is actually very important. Would you agree? That's very, very important. So if we were to summarise influential conversations, it's about being able to persuade people and having that shared understanding and agreement so that you can work together and get a mutually beneficial outcome. And I think that when you're looking for outcomes, we hear all sorts of things about people that are aggressive, they're assertive, or people in a team might be passive. And yes, you're absolutely right if you're thinking these types of people do impact a team. So we would be looking for influential, persuasive people to be probably confident and assertive. Because if you lack that, it's very difficult to be convincing. And I think that, let's look at if you're a manager, if I'm speaking to you and you're a manager, you need to be able to have demonstrated that third one there about evidence. You need to have been able to work with your team to accomplish some objectives, to achieve some sales results, all done through your people. So if you involve your people, add value to your people, encourage them, empower them, then you will not have very much difficulty in persuading them. But sometimes we've got people that, well, I think that this has gone a little bit too far. That's Sheena Walker's opinion when we say people get bullied at work. Well, what has been bullied at work? Bullied at work is not being told what to do. If you've been told what to do, that's a direct approach back to legislation and compliance, perhaps, in a clinical setting. That's not bullying. But some people might think that being told what to do, or they might describe the leader as, he just dictates. But, you know, sometimes there is a place for being direct and being able to dictate and just give that direct command. And I remember when I did leadership training from the military at Sandhurst Academy, and at first I was very surprised at their approach, and I thought, oh, that's very different from Sheena's soft approach. I don't think that would work with the people I work with. However, I can see now that that chain of command, that military chain of command, perhaps is influenced in another way that somebody commands has to take over in the line of duty. And they've got to be ready in seconds to take over and influence people in their team. So that chain of command, that influence, can have a soft approach, a direct approach, a military approach. But it's down to your credibility and your evidence and your emotional connection with people. And sometimes, I was speaking to someone last week, we were speaking about doing a presentation in front of angel investors for a new idea, a new product, a new service. And I was asking the person, did you put a presentation together? Sort of, was the reply. Did you have the areas required in a presentation to win new business or win an angel investor? Sort of. Now, I'm just saying this sort of because that is not good enough. So if you want to persuade a panel or an investor and you want to promote your idea to be commercially viable and you want them to consider being one of your backers, you've then got to have that mutual understanding with them. They've got to understand exactly the steps that you're going to take to actually carry through on your new commercially viable idea. And establishing that understanding is what will lead people to come on board with you, to have that common ground. So you need to know, to be influential and to win a new contract, you need to know, what will you do in year one, year two, year three? Do you see what I'm saying? Back to that credibility, the common ground, the evidence and that emotional connection. So let's just overview four or five of the areas that I've highlighted and ask yourself, do I do this? And what's quite important when you go out, that speaking is the most profitable skill in the business world today. Why am I saying that? Because you need to speak to your team at briefings, at meetings, to win new contracts, in recruitment, and to actually have these influential conversations. You need to be a brilliant speaker. So, establishing that credibility that I shared there. And I have something that perhaps hits our nerve a little bit with people, because I've been talking about being an expert and being a self-proclaimed expert. Now, one of my boys was saying, I don't think you can say that, Mum. Well, yes, I can. Because would you not want to work with experts? Why would you work with someone who self-proclaims that they spent a few hours one afternoon doing something? That does not give you credibility. And not everyone right now can be persuaded that doing a one-year course or a two-year course. But if you want to be an expert and you want to actually lead your people, persuade your people, then you've got to have that expertise and that authority to actually lead your people. So credibility is based on being an expert. It's very difficult to have credibility if you're self-proclaimed. And just on adding a bit there, we're in a dynamic economy right now where things are very, very volatile in some areas, and lots of things are changing. Lots of people are being made redundant. Hospitality people are having to change direction. So that's when, if you've got areas of expertise, it's easier to slot into that new role. But one of the second things that to do with credibility is when you have that area of expertise, that area of authority, you have confidence and you can build relationships very easily. I find that when I go out, I can build relationships very easily. I heard a comment from somebody fairly well known yesterday, and they said, the people that make the best leaders are actually introverts. Now, I'm going to contradict that. If you're an introvert and you find it difficult to have conversations, difficult to build relationships, that's not to say you can't learn to do that. But establishing credibility and being influential can be a little bit more difficult if you're an introvert and you can't actually be confident in what you deliver. And the thing is that when you can deliver and be positive about relationships, your subject, people see that you care about them. And without a doubt, you can become more persuasive. It's interesting because I'm actually going to Australia quite soon, and I was looking, it was a short notice thing, and I was looking at flights and getting to the airport, and all of a sudden I realised that my family were not available to take me to the airport, and I had a conversation with a work colleague and a very good friend last week. And he's just come back from a quick holiday because, like me, he was fed up with not having the sun. And I said, "Justin, I've got a huge favour to ask you. I wonder if you could help me out in a few weeks." I said, "I'd love to have my holiday smooth and everything running to plan, but I've not got a lift to the airport." "Yes!" And before I knew it, I didn't have to persuade him or give him any more details. He said, "Of course I can give you a lift to the airport." Was that because we've shared and built up a relationship? Was that because he genuinely was helping me out? Or was that because that in the past I've helped him out? And so, you see, we had that relationship, that mutual trust that made persuasion to give me a lift to the airport very easy. Can you see how that happened? So the second thing I want to speak about was we said about credibility and about finding common ground. And sometimes when we're trying to find common ground, you have to make sure that what you're speaking about appeals to your audience. And having some common ground and shared interests is the closest that you're going to get to selling your idea. And there needs to be an upside to what you do and your position. And you need to be able to explain, well, just what are the benefits of doing this? So what are the benefits? When you're working with your team, they don't really care about what's happening higher up in a boardroom level. When you're working with your team, they're thinking, what's in this for me? So finding common ground is about, in your organisation, is starting your conversation about, we've got this new idea, we've got this new service, and here's what this might mean to you. Here's how we're hoping we can roll this out with the staff. So what I'm doing there, and I've actually used this, so one of the most effective ways is to look at what's worked in the past with a particular audience that or the staff that you're speaking to. What is it they respond to? And it usually is, will this benefit my career? Will I get extra training? Might there be a promoted post? Will I perhaps get less hours? There's all of these things. What's in it for me is really, really important. So to be an influential conversationalist, you must find the common ground, the clear benefits to the person, the people or the staff, and that there definitely will be a change. And you can tell by looking at people's faces if they're on board with you. I'm very into analysing people's faces big time. I actually listened to somebody last week, I think I've been sharing, as I listen and look around to people. And I was listening to somebody speaking about inspiring people. And I don't think the guy smiled or had any emotion on his face for 30 minutes. Now, is that persuasion? No, it's not. Would you be influential after you finish speaking? Would people want to speak to you? Probably not. Would people be interested in your product? Probably not, because you've not built that relationship with them. So the third one I said at the beginning about credibility, common ground, having evidence. And how do you produce that evidence? So if you work as an entrepreneur, you could be a doctor, a dentist, you could work in digital marketing. People look for you to have these conversations, but also to have some evidence. And one of the things that I do is I teach people how to have and do a very specific presentation where in the middle we share case studies. So that evidence is there. Where were the people before? What did you find? What did you teach them? When did they have a light bulb moment? And what can they do now that they couldn't do before? That's evidence. And when you can produce that kind of evidence in your presentation, that is unbelievable at building relationships. It's unbelievable, because what you're doing is supplementing your presentation with examples, but more importantly, with your direct experience. And one of the things that I think is very important is I love analogies, using an association, linking what you're sharing with the person. I was speaking about, we've been watching Formula One in the last few days, and I said to my friend, wow, isn't Formula One so powerful? Imagine if that was your brand. And she looked at me and went, say that again, Sheena. I said, imagine if your brand was like a Ferrari. I'm very into Ferrari, Formula One, luxury branding. They're commercially viable. And knowing about that and being able to relate it into somebody you're working with brand, and saying, what if your brand was positioned like a Ferrari or like Apple? You instantly know what they're known for. And what that does when you're working with your people is it allows them to see the situation through their eyes. And I call that, you know, having, we've all got different lenses. But people can't support you or be persuaded if they don't understand really what you're asking them to do. So remember, case studies, positioning, that luxury brand. Could you encourage people to think like that in your organisation? Same with customer service. It's very poor just now. The amount of places I go, and I sometimes just have to put my finger to my mouth and think, oh dear, that was not such a good experience. We want to be able to persuade our staff that customer service is a fantastic experience, and we would like them to do that. So the fourth one there was, we talked about an emotional connection. The thing is that there definitely isn't any persuasion or influential conversation if you do not have an emotional connection with your people. I remember listening to Richard Branson, and he was sharing how at one point he had to close, going back a decade or more than a decade ago, he had to close Virgin Media, had to close some of his companies. But he promised his staff that as soon as everything was commercially viable, as soon as they could get back up and running, he would get in touch and get them all back on board. because he told them, my staff are really important to me. And what he said was, I found this incredible. Love your staff, look after your staff, and you'll never, ever, ever have a problem with performance. Can you imagine if we did that in the world of work today? We would never think about talking about loving your staff. But showing that emotion and how you think and how you feel and how they work and the experience that you see them sharing while you're their manager or in your company. So one of the key things there about emotion is, how do you adjust the tone of your voice? And that's one of the things that there's a huge gap. I see many well-known people, manager, and many famous people, they just have one monotoned voice. You will never, ever, ever persuade people to listen to you or to have that engagement or that conversation if you're loud and you speak in what I call a warrior voice. That's very loud and overbearing. Don't confuse that with being excited and sharing success. Some people just speak very loud. So one of the things to have that emotional connection is, you must be really aware of how your voice comes across. At times, is it soft and understanding? Do you show empathy? Do you care about what the people do? Is there times your voice needs to be direct in that chain of command, in a hospital, in the military? You've got to be very assertive. Is there a success voice? These are all voices of influence, voices of persuasion. And I'm sure now that if you take some of the things that I'm sharing with you today, you'll realise that using these four areas, you will end up motivating people. You'll be able to make decisions easier. And staff will be able to respond to what you're asking them to do. They will be flexible. They will be adaptable. And so when you go to ask them to do something, you won't have to spend ages justifying why you want them to do something, because you will have that art of persuasion mastery. What I'd like to just share with you now is that four things that you shouldn't do, and that is, don't rely on an argument. An argument is one component of persuasion that people think is good. But you need to connect, if you're going to have an argument and it's something that's scientific based, you need to be really, really sound about what you're saying and when you're going to use that. The second thing is, never make a hard sales pitch, a hard direct, never just go into a conversation and the opening line is a hard sell game. Every time we go to make a major purchase, say we go to buy a car, or we're looking at perhaps a new flat or a house, you wouldn't actually be met with somebody that gives you a total hard sell. What would be the first thing that would get your back up if you went for a car and somebody was really forceful and you didn't get a chance to look? That is not a good idea. So you need to think about how you can change your words, change your language. Again, it's back to why something is a good idea, why this car's quite good, what's the benefit, what's the evidence. The third thing is, never ever, and I've seen this, take an all or nothing stance. So persuasion isn't about someone, well, I'll just say yes for peace sake, or I'll just do this because I'll compromise. And sometimes we have to compromise with staff if things are not working out. And sometimes we do have to make a compromise in what we're asking somebody to do in a job share, a job description, or what the post entails. We may need to slightly compromise there. Again, that's the power of persuasion. Don't ever think you only have one chance to persuade somebody that your idea is really, really good. Many times you'll not win people over at your first attempt. But you know, as you go out in the business world, go out networking, speak on the phone, do training, build new contacts, you will start to see what works and what doesn't work. And you will think, oh, that was a better conversation today. So the power of your credibility, your emotions, listening to other people. And, you know, I've noticed that when I go to networking, what something I do when somebody asks me, who are you and what do you do? I give them a one-liner and then I say, okay, that's enough about me. I'm more interested. Tell me about you. I'd love to hear where you've come from today and a little more about your idea or your business. That immediately builds credibility, immediately builds relationship. You see what I did there? So if I summarise this, persuasion is an art. And to be really, really good at understanding persuasion and influence is practice. You need to practice when you go out thinking, I'm going to practice this today. Maybe I'll ask this question and see where it leads, like I did there. Tell me more about you. Oh, that's a really interesting job you have. Tell me a little bit more about that. And get the person speaking to you. And really what you're doing at the core is relating to people and you're adopting their point of view. You see, when you commit to listening to people and people are able to share their propositions with you and they appeal to you, people will respond to you. They will want to get in touch with you, want to connect with you, want to set up another meeting with you. So remember that being persuasive is about motivating people to do something. Motivating people to do something. Which in the end, they will want to do it without you prompting them. Show them what's in it for them and do it in a way that you come over being genuine and effective. If you've got any questions on what I've shared with you today, please get in touch with me. Give me a call on 07588 645 702 or contact me at sheena@sheenawalker.com. If you've got a challenge with persuasion and influence and you want to have 30 minutes with me and you've got a particular situation you think I might be able to help you with, I am more than happy and would be delighted to help you become unstuck and to be able to step up. I have part two of persuasion and influence by a very famous man who has different another approach, and I'm going to share that with you quite soon. The power of Robert Cialdini and how he shares his power of persuasion. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you found it helpful. And I look forward to speaking to you soon or having that conversation.